The Jericho Network on Westwood One. All right, there's plenty of people who come and go at the WWE, and I know you sometimes wonder, where did they go? You're wondering what happened to them, what they're up to. Like, how about Crime Time? How about JTG? Cheer! I always love when he said that. Well, today you're going to find out all about JTG, where he is, where he's going, what he's done, and what he's up to now. He wrote a new book, Damn, Why Did I Write This Book? It's an ebook. You can get that online, filled with stories from his time in the WWE. He's going to share some of those stories with me and a few that didn't make the book as well. You hear all about his tag team partner, Shad Gaspard, what a character he is, how they got put together, why they got put together, who came up with the Crime Time gimmick, what led to them getting fired from WWE and then subsequently getting asked back. And you hear about JTG's solo run in the WWE and the famed JTG gimmick, where he stayed in the company for a long, long time, kind of under the radar. We'll find out all about what he thought about that and so much more. What you're also going to find out about is the stories about DDP Yoga. And I'm going to tell you about it right now, because DDP and DDP Yoga are changing lives, including mine. If you already have a DDP success story, you definitely need to tweet it to @TalkIsJericho on the Twitter. Use the hashtag #podcast1, and you'll get a shot to win the free copy of DDP Yoga signed by Diamond Dallas Page himself. And DDP Yoga, it's more than just a workout program, man. Healthier way of life. It's already helped tens of thousands of people. You guys know how much it's helped me. I mean, I'm getting to be a broken record here. I wouldn't still be in the ring or on stage at the highest of levels in the WWE and with Fozzy if not for DDP's amazing, amazing yoga program. Also helped Eric Thacker. Eric was tipping the scales at 448 pounds. His doctor told him if he didn't do something soon, he would certainly die. That's right. So Eric started DDP Yoga, and after 1 month in Dallas's program, he had lost 30 pounds. Now, I can tell you, I can vouch for that, because after 1 month of me doing DDP Yoga, I lost 12 pounds. So I wasn't as heavy as Eric, but it definitely hit me just as much as it hit him. And after 2 months, Eric was down 55 pounds, and by month three, Eric had changed his diet to healthy whole foods. At the end of his first year in the DDP Yoga program, he had lost 185 pounds. Unbelievable. He not only changed his life, he reclaimed it. He took control. He became a better person, a healthier person, and his life is going to last longer now as well because of DDP and this amazing program. You got to see the video and the pictures. You can check it out at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. I'm telling you, it's incredible. And DDP Yoga, like I said, has helped tens of thousands of people just like you. And if you're one of them, let me know. I said, tweet your DDP Yoga story to @TalkIsJericho. Use the #podcast1, and you could win a copy of the DDP Yoga program autographed by Diamond Dallas Page himself. That's right. Just tweet me your DDP Yoga story @TalkIsJericho. Use the #podcast1 for your chance to win an autographed DDP Yoga program. A winner will be chosen at random, okay? And you still got time to experience your own DDP Yoga story, because DDP has given you guys a great deal. The Sexy Beast Talk is Jericho listeners, you're going to get a great deal specially just for you. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of this amazing, amazing offer. There's no more excuses, all right? You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Put down the donut, put down the attitude, put down the excuse. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and get into better shape. I'm telling you, it works. It works for me. It's going to work for you. DDP Yoga changes lives, and that's a shoot, brother.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, we're here in a hotel room. Chill. With JTG, do you still call yourself that?
I'm still JTG. I own the rights to JTG. I don't know how I pulled that off, but I found that out.
Pull that off?
I have no idea.
Because that was a character that was created in the WWE system, right?
Well, I was using that name in Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was using that name in Louisville. And
which is still a part of the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, OVW? Yeah. I don't think so. No.
Okay. No, so no, you no. started there.
Yeah.
But usually they copyright everything when you come to
I don't know how I pulled
WWE.
It off. I don't know the details. I'm just happy that I could use JTG.
What did that stand for?
Man, there's a long story behind that. We have time?
We got a whole show for you.
Man, JTG. Well, when I was in OVW,
right,
I was at the top of my class. And then when we cut promos, I would call myself Just Too Good.
Oh, okay.
Just Too Good. At the end of every promo, because I'm Just Too Good. And then when I got to WWE, I had to humble myself a lot of people was asking, so what does JTG stand for? And I started stuttering. I said, just too gangster. Because I didn't want to say just too good because I didn't want heat.
The unwritten rule book of how to survive in the WWE locker room, which you don't really know. You just don't know how things spiral out of control, right?
Nope. No idea.
And that's funny how you mentioned you're at the top of your class in OVW. So when you came into this system, you were like one of the blue chip guys or whatever you would say.
Oh, were the new guys?
Well, yeah. Like when you said you're at the top of your class, obviously you're kicking ass.
Kicking ass. The trainer loved me. He would use me as an example. You need to do like JTG. He comes here early and he leaves late. And I was like the role model. Like, yeah, I felt good. And then when I came to WWE, it's a totally different.
Well, and you've written a book kind of about this, and it's called "Damn, Why Did I Write This Book?" And it's an online book.
It's an e-book,
right? Even that process is interesting to me. We'll talk about that. But basically, it's kind of like a mini novella, like 70 pages, 8 pages, very, very easy read. And it just talks about all the trials and tribulations that you faced when you first got into the when you first came to the WWE.
Very interesting book, yes. Writing the book, it jogged me. It was a good jog for into memory lane because I forgot a lot of the stuff, and then I was remembering, what story should I write about? Oh yeah, that too, that stuck out. And then I was just reminiscing, and I'm like, yeah, they're gonna love that one. I also did the audio book too, so I'm the audio.
Oh, you did
book,
an audio version. Audio, that too.
Yeah, I got in the studio. I knocked out 8 hours. You know, knocked them chapters out.
So what made you decide to write this book?
Man, friends and family. I didn't want to do the book at all. I didn't want to write about the book, but I would tell stories to my friends and family who didn't know anything about the wrestling business. And I'll tell them about Shad's antics. Oh, Shad. And they were like, you have to put this down on paper. And I didn't know the first thing about getting a book published. And then I did some research and ebooks. When I found out that a girl became a millionaire off an ebook, off of 99 cents ebook to make it.
That's what your book costs, like 99 cents.
At first, it was 99 cents just to get the word out there.
I did some
research on marketing. He's like, you want to get the word out there, make it cheap.
Right.
And then I did that. And then I raised the price, of course.
What is it now?
It is at $1.99, okay, so not a big jump.
Yeah. Still like buying a song off iTunes, exactly. Basically. Yeah,
yeah. So the ebook process was so easy, but the formatting, that was the hardest part. If anybody out there wants to do an ebook, do a lot of research on formatting.
How do you mean by that, formatting?
We have to be in a proper ebook format. You can't just put a book up there, upload it. It's going to come out all jumbled. It's like a
serious. Like, you're talking about how it comes out in the print.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. And I didn't even perfect it. Some of the chapters, if you get the book, there's a big gap in between some of them because if you just press delete once, it could just mess up the whole. So there's a lot of errors, and yeah, I tried to fix it last minute, and it was like, you know what, there's a headache. They're gonna love it anyway.
But because I know, like, if you have an album that you want to put on iTunes, usually, I mean, at least before, you had to do it through a record company. Like, you couldn't just put up your own album on iTunes. I think now they're getting a little bit more open, where you could just basically, if you know the right codes or whatever it is. How do you do an ebook? How do you get it up there? Do you have to go through
No, there's different platforms you could just use. The first one I used was called PayHip, and they allow you to take Word document and just upload it, and then that one was easy. That one was so far easy. But Kindle, oh my god, that's a headache. The next time I do my next ebook, I'm hiring somebody to do it. I don't want that headache.
So you're gonna do more of these?
Oh yes, the fans love it. They definitely want a part two. Damn, would I write this book too?
So tell us about why did I write this book about? Why did you write this book? What is it about?
Well, the book is specifically about heat. Mm-hmm. Heat in the business. I don't think a lot of fans know about the subculture of wrestling. You know, there's a lot of rules and you can get a lot of heat for it. And for those who don't know what heat is a kind of like a black cloud that follows you after miscommunication or, you know, altercation with another superstar, and that could travel with you for weeks, months, sometimes years. You know, Jericho, I know you had to have some heat in your days.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were just talking about, kind of the unwritten rule of how the WWE locker room is, or wrestling in general, but especially WWE, because it's a lot like Mean Girls, the movie Girls, where you come into this new high school, you know, class, and you don't really know what you did wrong for people not to like you. And especially, it's not as bad, I think, now that it was when you came in, and it was way worse when I came in.
Oh, like, yeah. I heard stories about the 80s. Oh.
Or like the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, the Attitude Era was just a total mess. You know, my whole second book is about how I came in there, just had major, here's the word of the day, heat, and not really too sure why I had it. You know, using the same qualifications and attributes that got me there in the first place suddenly became detriment, which was confidence, a little bit of not arrogance, but just knowing what you're doing, believing in yourself, taking chances, doing things differently. That all kind of got back to me being public enemy number one.
What?
Now, when I came back in 07, you guys were there, Crime Time. You were public enemies number one and two. And that there's a lot of stories about that in the book.
Do you remember the first time we met? This off topic. The first time we met, I believe it was in '07. It was after the Royal Rumble, the one in New York.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for my buddy. We was all going to go out to eat. Elijah, they had just had the pay-per-view, and we were all going to go out to Fridays and eat.
Elijah Wood?
Elijah Burke. Yeah, Elijah Burke. Yeah. So I was at the Marriott waiting for him at the TV hotel. And then I was by the door. I saw you coming. I held the door open for you. And you said, "Hey, aren't you one of the Crime Time guys?" And you and I was like, "Yeah, nice to meet you." Like, man, you bounced back pretty quickly. You got a job as a doorman at the Marriott. That's good for you. I'm like, wow, okay.
I just realized, isn't Elijah Wood the Hobbit?
Oh, yeah.
So it would be better if you're hanging out with Elijah Wood. Frodo, I think it is, or whatever. Yeah, that's funny. I remember, because you always had like a good attitude.
I thought,
nice guy. You know, you could tell you had respect. So that's probably why I said that.
I was released at the time. I wasn't with the company. I got released.
Oh,
and I was in New York. Yeah,
that's even better. That's hilarious. So tell us about this story when you guys first came in, because you were there for a very short time. And in the fine tradition of the Rockers, and Shawn Michaels has told the story here, when he came in here and they had so much heat right off the bat that they were gone before they even started.
Wow.
And the great quote was Vince McMahon came in and he had called the Rockers into his office, and Vince looked at their boots and said, "Those are nice boots. They're made for walking."
Really?
Yeah.
He said
and they
that?
Went, "Oh, I'm just kidding. Sit down." And then 5 minutes later, fired him.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. So and what was the journey for Crime Time to get to the big leagues and then get basically fired so quickly?
The journey was for me, I came in there really young. Mm-hmm. I came in there 21 years old. I was on the Raw roster at 21.
You got signed you were on the main roster at 21.
21, yeah.
That's young.
Yeah. As soon as I got signed, I was pretty much on the road. I was down in OVW for 3 to 4 years, and then I got signed, and then couple of weeks I'm like, I'm on the road.
And why was it so quick? Because some of those guys were spending like 4 or 5 years there.
Vince loved the gimmick. Like, Chad and I were doing the gimmick down in OVW, and we did our own vignettes. Like, Al Snow, he's the head trainer at the time, he was doing matches every week, and he said, "You know, you don't got to get over just doing matches and winning. You know, you could, you know, go out there and do some vignettes." Mm-hmm. Chad and I took it upon ourselves to, you know, shoot some vignettes. We robbed the smoothie shop, and I did a shout out in front of the camera and pulled my bandana down, just revealing my identity.
Like some of those dumb guys you see on Cops or something, right? Yeah.
We beat up a cop. We was running from cops, and somebody told Vince, like, "Hey, you got to check this out. This is pretty cool, interesting. And then he saw the video. He said, "Sign him." Didn't see me wrestle or anything. He just liked our charisma, personality, and he loved the gimmick.
So you were still working in OVW unsigned?
I was unsigned for 3 or 4 years. I was working at a daycare.
So
at Gold's Gym.
The guy from Crime Time taking care of your kids. So did you guys just show up there and hoping that you'd get a look, or did you have some kind of an invitation to be in OVW?
Well, it went through different phases. You started the amateur class, the beginners class, amateurs class, and then you work your way up to intermediate, and then they had the contract class.
Okay.
So after I was in intermediate class for a while, and then I had to pay some extra money to get in the advanced class with the contract class. After I paid that, I was there for a while. And then I was hoping, when you're amongst other contract talent, you hope you get seen with the contract
right.
And you get picked up. And that went on for a while. And
so
then,
you could pay money to get in the contract class if you were at that level?
Yeah, if you were at that level, yeah. You had to be approved by Danny.
Man.
Yeah.
That reminds me when I was in Taekwondo class when I was like 12, and the only way you could get to the next level of a belt is if you paid money. You didn't have to even be good.
No, you had to be good. Danny was not going to let anybody on his television show if they were not.
All right, but you still had to pay some cash to get
definitely.
Up there. Gotcha. Okay.
It was well worth it.
All right. Yeah. So were you guys Crime Time, the name Crime Time?
I was known as Neighborhoodie. Paul Heyman gave me that name, and then when I heard it, he's like, "We're going to call you Neighborhoodie." And I was like, okay, I love it. Paul, even if you listen to it, I didn't like it. But at the time, I didn't want heat.
right.
So I was Neighborhoodie, and the first week I debuted, it was out of nowhere. He's like, "Okay, we're putting you with Shad." Shad just finished running a championship storyline with CM Punk.
Mm.
And he didn't win the title, so they put me and him together. So the first week after he lost, I made my television debut. And then the next week, after sitting on the stands for like months, I won the title. when the tag team titles with Shad. Okay. So my career, like, it's 1 minute you're doing nothing.
Right.
Like thinking about going back home, I was like, man, it's not working out. I've been out here for 3 to 4 years now, and it's not looking good. And maybe I need to put on more size. I'm like, nah. I was literally thinking about quitting. I was like, no.
You're at the end of the road.
Yeah, it was the end of the road. It was getting bad. And then next thing you know, I'm making my television debut, and then I'm the Southern Tag Team Champions with Shad. And then from there, it just took off. And
so then you get the call, like you said, after a week or two, that they want you on TV. When did you hear about the name Crime Time?
We heard about Crime Time. I think it was like our second or third time up on the road. We were just sitting in the office coming up with names. And you wouldn't believe some of the names.
Like what? Give me some of them. Do you have any? Do you remember
I'll give you an idea of what I forgot what the writer name was. He said, we're going to call you Hoodie Nation. And here's what we got. You're going to come out with your own flag, and then we're going to sell flags, and everybody in the audience is going to have the Hoodie Nation flag, and you guys are going to be so over. I'm like, oh, gosh. No.
And then we'll sell Hoodie Nation. We'll sell Hoodie Nation hoodies.
I was like, and then they checked to see if the name was available, because you have to go through trademark, right. This whole process, and it was somebody already had Hoodie Nation. I'm like, yes, thank you.
Thank goodness, yeah.
Man, and then Crime Time came up, and then we just spelt it different, and it worked.
That's a pretty good name.
I love Crime Time.
That's a good name. And the gimmick was that you guys were kind of like, hustlers on the street, yes. Trying to sell you stolen goods, basically, right?
Exactly, and it worked perfectly. We're like Robin Hoods. We'll take from other superstars and auction it off to the audience.
Which made you instant babyface.
Oh, yeah, we loved it. I had a lot of fun doing that.
So how long were you there for before the dreaded heat happened?
I think we were on the road for a little less than a year. And then for guys who didn't read the book, you know, we were getting ready to go to Africa, and we had like two shows before we went to Africa. I couldn't wait to go to Africa. Man, every African-American wants to go to Africa.
Right. You're in America, you want to go to Africa.
And then I was getting paid to go there. I was like, man, this is going to be so sweet. I was so excited.
And those tours are pretty few and far between. I've never been to Africa.
What?
And I've worked here 15 years. It's just whenever they went, I either wasn't on the tour or wasn't working here at the time. So it's not often that you get a chance to go to Africa.
Man, I was so excited. I packed my bags early. My bags were packed, ready to go. And then we had to do two shows before we departed. We had to do a Sunday show and Raw before we left, and we got into a little incident with the tag team champs. They pulled the rib on us. We didn't get along at all. Mm-hmm. Lance Kidd and Trevor Murdoch, we didn't get along at all. There was a lot of heat between us, and they pulled the rib on us involving the ref. And when we got backstage, all hell broke loose.
Well, that's when, I remember hearing about this, and that some kind of a mess up in the finish.
Yeah.
And then Shad, and you were involved too, but Shad basically
I was on the apron, and I was kind of like still selling from what happened in the match. So when I turned around, it was like, Shad, hit our finish. I'm like, okay, I guess they have some type of agreement. Let me not mess up the finish. So I hit the ropes, hit the finish.
And what was your finish?
It was called the G9. Shad would hold him in like in a Samoan
right.
Samoan drop position, and I'll hit the ropes and hit him with a neck breaker.
Okay, so you guys are going down at the same time as you're twisting in the air.
Yeah. You know, we protected the ref. Well, Shad took a little extra liberties and took the belt off the ref and his shirt and auctioned it off to the crowd. You know, he wanted to make sure the crowd was left happy, I guess.
Can you say who the ref was? Are you at liberty to say? Do you remember?
Marty? I just saw him.
Marty Elias?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I saw him last week.
Marty's probably one of the guys that you could do that to and probably wouldn't even care too much. Probably.
I didn't think he cared, but yeah. When we got backstage, they was concerned. Oh, you bumped the ref? Like, okay, yeah. You do it all the time. Well, you bump the ref. How you know he's trained to be bumped like that? Like, okay.
It is kind of something that you probably shouldn't do on the fly.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, maybe.
I definitely agree, but yeah.
But so you learn it. So you come back and you're getting yelled at and screamed at.
Well, Shad is.
Okay.
Our agent at the time, I believe it was Barry Windham, he said, I need to talk to you. So I'm following Shad. I'm following behind them. And he's like, no, I don't need to talk to you. I just need to talk to Shad. I'm like, oh, man, okay. And I didn't hear the details of him yelling at him, but he was yelling pretty loud at Shad, and I was like, damn, this is bad. And then when Shad came back out, we were all sitting by the ring monitor, and the face of the company is just yelling at the top of his lungs at Shad and telling him how stupid he is, and I was like, damn, this is bad. And then for some reason he started yelling at both of us and insulting both of us. I'm like, oh man. It was a bad day.
So you're guilty by association for what Shad did, right?
There's a lot of that. Yeah. You read the book. There's a lot of guilty by association.
Yeah, there's a lot of, because, I mean, in the realm of the crime time world, Shad was the guy who always kind of had more heat.
Yeah.
And you were dragged along. It reminded me a lot of, what was his name? Hassan? Muhammad Hussein and Davari.
Oh, okay.
Where Davari got a lot of heat just because
he was the JTG of the crew?
He was the JTG of the Arabic heels.
Arabic time?
Yeah, exactly. Arabic time. So yeah, so the next day, did they continue to yell at you, or is that why you got fired? Or
oh yeah, we got called into the office, and I thought it was going to be a big fine. I was told we were about to win the titles. That's what I was told, and I even stung more. We were about to win the tag team titles because it was a pay per view when we came back from the tour. And they're like, okay, they're not going to fire us. We're about to be the tag team. Yeah. We're about to be the tag
they
team.
They can't fire us. Come on.
And we're over. Sure. We get into that office. He gave us some long lecture about how they were disappointed in us and you guys had so much potential. You guys were showing so much improvement. And I'm like, oh, damn, how much is fine going to be? 20,000? Sheesh, that's the whole tour probably. Yeah. I don't know. And then he just said, we're going to have to let you guys go. And my jaws dropped. I said, what? You're going to release us? Well, we're over.
You can't replace us.
And he was like, yeah. And then I had to drive home. Shad got a flight home. But since I was so close to – I was living in Kentucky at the time.
Where were you guys?
I believe we were in Ohio or Cleveland.
Like Cincinnati
somewhere.
Or something in Cleveland. Yeah.
So I had to drive 3 hours. That was a sad 3 hours. And then the worst part of it all, not the drive – the drive home was bad too, but – they treated us like we were like we just snuck backstage because we got escorted out by security.
Oh,
like, yeah, we had to go get our bags from the locker room, and then the security who we see all the time, he's like, "Come on, guys, we got to go now." And I'm like,
"Oh,
what?
That's...
You guys serious? Like, what are we gonna do? Like, mess shit up on the way out?
Right?
Maybe Shad would have, but
that's embarrassing, right?
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing.
I know, like my cousin got fired a few years ago, and they had to like empty out his desk, and you know why they watched him? Like, here's a box, like put your stuff in the box and leave
they had
now.
Security.
And it's like, you guys are my friends. It's like, not anymore. Oh, that's talk about the walk of shame, right?
Yes, the walk of shame. And everybody was like, "Where are you guys going?" I didn't want to say anything. I was like,
"We're going to film a vignette."
We'll be right back.
So I mean how does that feel for you? Because I know you're a longtime wrestling fan, and you know, after you, like you mentioned, you guys are over and you're so close to being the champs, and then suddenly not even a year in, boom, it's done.
Yeah.
Drive home.
Well, I had some type of some hope, you know, on the way out. It was like just keep your noses clean, you know. You'll see, we'll keep an eye on you guys, just keep your noses clean. I was like, okay. Hopefully they might bring us back again.
You think they were trying to teach you a lesson or something?
Yeah, I think they were trying to teach a lesson and also show an example to the boys, I guess, not to bump the ref, I guess.
Were you angry at Shad?
No, I wasn't angry at Shad. Like I said in the book, you got to get the book. I was proud of Shad. Shad did something that was really out of character. While we were getting yelled at, he said, and we got told we were released, he said, "Oh, don't fire Jay, man. It's not his fault. I want to take full responsibility." And I just looked at Shad like, wow, you did that for me? And then that all came to a screeching halt when he's like, "No, I got to release both of you guys. You guys are a team."
Yeah, and all these stories are told in much more detail in the book, but I'm just giving a preview of what you can expect when you check it out, because there are so many of those type of stories. And they did, and then once you guys, kind of like you mentioned, have that black cloud over your head, it follows you around, you know.
So you guys weren't actually gone very long before you came back to WWE, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But first I want to talk about the great Talk is Jericho sponsors, BetDSI. It's a fun sponsor, and here's the reason why. The NFL playoffs are just around the corner, right? The Super Bowl is next month already. The college football championship game is also coming up. If you're looking for some betting action, then you need BetDSI.com. It's an online sportsbook website, and they're the only one who actually set a lot of the lines that you're already playing on, okay? They've been around since 98. They've got A-plus ratings on sportsbook review sites. They're legit, they're safe, they're secure, and most importantly, BetDSI is easy to use. And you don't just have to bet on football. You can bet on MMA. You can bet on hockey. You can bet on virtually any U.S. sporting event that there is. You can even bet on stuff like the Academy Awards, right? Political elections, reality TV. You could probably even vote on The Force Awakens. does Han Solo die or not? I mean, you could probably bet on that at BetDSI. And if you're going to go check it out, use my promo code Jericho10 if you do, okay? That's Jericho and the number 10, no space in between, Jericho10. You can do live betting on BetDSI. You can play throughout entire games. They got desktop and mobile platforms, so you can bet wherever you are, whenever you want, however you want to do it. So go give it a try. Set up an account at BetDSI.com. Use my promo code Jericho10, and you'll get $10 free just for registering, okay? BetDSI has a solid reputation for paying if you win, so don't worry about collecting. They're not going to screw you over. I wouldn't do that to you. Jericho's got your back. Your boy's got your back. This is like having your own personal Vegas sports book right on your phone or in your home, okay? Give it a try. Easy to use. Register once again for an account at BetDSI.com. Use my promo code Jericho10. That's Jericho and the number 10, no space in between, Jericho10, and you'll get $10 free just for registering. Play today, bet today, BetDSI.com. Jericho10 is the code. Go win some money.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Yamaha F335 acoustic guitar, just $99. Or get a Luna Soprano ukulele, only $49. Plus the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing. Lessons for the beginner on your list. And gift cards, the perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
This is Talk is Jericho.
So we're back here with JTG, and how long were you and Shad gone before you came back to WWE?
We were gone for, it was like a vacation. We were gone for 6 months. And of course you get your 90 days, so it was like I was, for the half of those 6 months, I was getting paid, and then we get a big video game check. And I was like, I went on vacation. I went places that I didn't, yeah. I never went to. I went to the Dominican Republic. I went to my family in Trinidad and Tobago, took some cruises, and then while I
was the best firing ever.
Yeah, it was the best. I'm glad it happened. Yeah. When I look back at it, and then when I was in Trinidad, that's when we get the call back while I'm hanging out with family. Oh, they think about bringing us back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get the call, and then as soon as I came, I left Trinidad, and then I went home, stayed there I wasn't there long. Then I went by Shad to go train at Booker T's.
I wonder why they decided to bring you back. Did you ever find out?
Over, man.
Oh, African American guys, you guys are over. I mean, that's a good spot to have, right?
Oh yeah, it was a good spot, and we had fun on. We just had a lot of fun. We had a lot of creative liberty. Vince gave us a lot of creative liberty, doing the vignettes, and even for example, I knew Vince really loved us. Like there was one example when I asked Vince, you know, because we were told not to look at the camera. He's like, I was told a lot by the agents and some of the writers. Vince hates when you look at the camera. Don't look at the camera. So I said, man, I need to be me. I need to be free. And in the rap videos, they like to show off their girl. You know, they show mm-hmm. their girl off the camera. They like to show off and throw their chains in the camera. So I walked up to Vince and I said, Vince, rap stars, you know, they like to look at the camera and show off. You know, I got a lot of jewelry. I want to show my grill off. He said, yeah, go ahead and do it. Have fun. And he slapped me on the back real hard. Like, yeah, go ahead. Have fun, man. Be yourself. I'm like, all right, great.
Well, Vince too. Like, if you've ever seen Vince, like, dance along to, like, rap music and stuff.
In a couple of our vignettes, yeah.
Yeah, like, he would see, like, I remember one time we did some kind of vignette where you guys stole something and your music was playing. He was dancing along with the music. Because what was the Crime Time music? It was really...
Oh, it was upbeat, yeah, bringing the hood to you. Bringing the hood to you.
Vince dancing.
When I first heard it, I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I heard it at a house show. Like, we didn't know what our theme music was. It was mm-hmm. like first time we was going on the road. And they he was like, okay, well, what do you think our music's going to be? Like, I hope it's cool. And then they blasted it. And I was like, oh, we got to go out anyway. Just love it. Go out there, like it.
So when you came back, were things different? Did you still have the black cloud of heat over
top? Oh, yeah,
you?
Definitely. You still had that cloud.
Even though you'd been gone for 6 months?
Mm-hmm. They were surprised to see us back.
Okay.
I remember seeing Lance Kidd and Trevor Murdoch's face when we first showed up. It was like,
yeah, there
you,
was always.
I thought we got rid of you.
There was always issues between you guys. I remember the first time, really early on when I came back in 07, we had a match at the Masonic Temple. I remember it was like in Ooh. Burlington, Vermont or someplace like that, like in the middle of nowhere. And it was some strange six-man maybe of Crime Time and somebody and maybe me and Kate and Murdoch, and I'm not sure exactly why. Uh-huh. Maybe Punk was on your team or something. And we just called it on the ring, and I said to Shad, go for a backdrop, I'll boot you up, I'll hit the ropes, give me a gorilla press. And he did, and when he dropped me and landed me, I rolled to the floor, and I remember Murdoch going, "What the hell are you doing?" Somebody goes, "Don't let him gorilla press you. He's dangerous. Oh, he's dangerous." So yeah, they didn't like you guys too much. I remember that from the start.
Yeah,
yeah. So the heat continues. Is it still more stuff that Shad is doing here? I know there's a couple stories in the book that you told. I mean, the hair stories are great. Did that happen before you got fired or when you came back?
I think that happened. When you look back, it's kind of like a blur.
Right.
Was it before or after? I'm going to say it was before.
Well, tell us about the braiding of the
braiding incident. Well, when you're on the road with the WWE, you know, you don't, especially on tour, international, you don't know too much of where's the nearest beauty salon or where's this. You have to get a runner. So Shad, we were getting ready for TV, and our hair was a mess.
Where were you?
I believe we were in the UK.
Okay, so you're in the UK.
Yeah, we're in the UK, and we had just did a tour for a week, and our hair was a mess. And we wanted to get our hair braided. I just wore a do-rag. I was like, I'm not going to worry about getting my hair braided. That's too much of a headache.
It's because you got your hair all braided because it's in the cornrows,
yeah,
right?
It's looking fresh, you know, when I first started. But after a couple of days of wrestling, sweating, it's not going to look as nice as you want
it to look.
So it
starts kind of growing out a bit and getting a little bit more kind of out of control and
exactly.
Bushy and stuff. Okay.
And you want to look good for TV. So Shad's
look
like,
fresh.
You want to look fresh for TV. You want to look fly with two eyes.
Chill.
And so Shad was like, I'm not wearing no do-rag. I'm getting my hair braided. So he gets a runner and...
What do you mean he gets a runner to do what?
To find out where to bring the hair braider back. He got some information. He said, okay, we got a hair braider. He was like, okay, I can't go to them. Can you have her come here?
And he would pay them?
Yeah, he'd pay them extra, I guess.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And the hair braider came back to a live event. I think he got braided at a live event. I brought her back at a live event after our match. And I don't see anything that he did anything wrong. Okay, you want to get your hair braided because we have to look good for TV, but go do it somewhere... Quiet. Go somewhere quiet and no one can see you. All right. No, Shad, he gets his hair braided in front of a high traffic hallway, and we were green at the time. We were new. We were supposed to be watching the monitor, watching the matches, learning from them. Well, Shad is somewhere not watching the matches, and he gets heat for getting his hair braided and not being by the monitor. So the next day, we had to our punishment was we had to wrestle Great Khali in a handicap match. And the match didn't last longer than 5 minutes. We got in there. I got chopped on my head.
That hurts.
And it hurts, yeah.
That, ask anybody. Great Khali's chopped the head hurts like a mofo.
Oh, my God.
I feel like an oak tree branch fell on my head. Like you're just walking down
the
street.
That's a good description of it.
Ow!
And I had to sell it. I wanted to sell it and rub my head, but I had to play like I was knocked out. So I got chopped on my head. Chad, he gets a big boot, gets a little flurry, and then... chop on his head, and he got the finish and pin on Shad. Mm-hmm. And the agent was like, yeah, I had to punish you guys. You know, I know you guys, JTG, you didn't do anything wrong, but that's your partner. You guys are joined at the hip, so you're going to have to feel the sting too. I'm like, all right, whatever. I didn't even want to go out that night. All the boys were going out. My self-esteem was low. Like,
Yeah. Well, once again, that's the worst, man. You're getting judged because of your partner, not because of what you did. But I'll say this, though. That is kind of a dumb thing, like to send the runner out to get a hair braider to come back. It's like, just get up early in the morning and go. Like, I would never even think of that. Like, I need a haircut. Like, have a runner come to the building and cut my hair for me.
Okay. That's Shad.
So, it's funny because you mentioned earlier the face of the company. You know, I'm going to guess that it was Cena because I know later on you guys had a great run. And even one of my favorites, Cena, and I still laugh about is CTC.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing CTC. Crime Time Cena.
Crime Time Cena. So, how did that come about?
I have no idea. One day I just found out we would be partnering up with Cena. I'm like, hell yeah, that's like the perfect fit, you know. And
because his gimmick was kind of, you know, same thing.
And then
at least it started that way.
And we started beating up limos. That was one of the best and funnest vignettes I've ever. Not vignettes. We actually did it in front of the live audience, New Orleans. I'll never forget that day. That was the day I met my wife. So I'll never forget that day.
So what did you do?
We came. John Cena. He came out. He was having a feuding with JBL, and if I can remember it right, he had some violations and he needed some help. You know, I think his backlight, nothing was wrong with it. Nothing was wrong with the limo. But we came out and we gave him a little adjustment. And then when I invited my soon-to-be wife to the show, it was like, that would be perfect. You know, she said, I guess to see a future husband being a badass. Like, oh, he's with John Cena and he's beating up limos? Oh.
Yeah, because you're smashing the back of the tail light and you're smashing the windows.
In. Chad had the crowbar. I had a bat. Yeah, it was good.
You remember seeing her wrote poopy on the...
Oh, yeah, poopy. Oh, yeah.
That was like the poopy.
That was random.
Yeah. How long did that last for, the CTC?
I'm going to say 3 or 6 months. I can't remember exactly.
It was a while, right?
Yeah, it was a while, yeah.
So,
And I was a very good learning experience. A lot of stuff that I was doing that I had no idea that what was wrong. John Cena put me to the side and don't do that no more. We're taking to another level.
Like what?
For example, before every match, I would like to get the crowd warmed up. I say, oh, you're ready to get it popping. You know, I look at the crowd. He was like, don't do that. You don't need their approval. Mm-hmm. Just start the match. He was like, you don't do that anymore. Just especially
little tricks,
with me.
Little tricks that main eventers use.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of, that's why I thought it was pretty good for you to work with him, obviously. And obviously you were there for a reason because you were over, which is good.
I'm going to get heat for that, by the way, for saying that.
But it's true. They wouldn't have put you, Vince McMahon would not put you with the cash cow, the face of the company, as you said, if you didn't have some kind of merit. You know, he's not going to put you guys together.
He said it, not me. Down.
I can say what I want. It's my show, and I know what I'm talking about. You know that's the case.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't have had you guys been out there with him for so long.
Exactly.
You know, so did you still have the heat following you around at that time?
I'm not going to say it was. I was a walking furnace at the time, but yeah, we was a little warm. Yeah, we was a little warm.
Could you ever get rid of it?
No. Even till when I went up to my singles career, I was asking one of the head of talent relations, you know, I want, you know, ask for some advice. He said, well, you know, you still got a little stink on you from the crime time, you know, you want to lay low and keep having good matches and so on. So I'm like, damn, it was that bad? I still have a little stink on me from crime time. Jeez.
Really, it's really weird though, because it's like you said, it seemed that, and I'm not piling on it, but it seemed that Shad would always do things to stick his foot in his mouth.
Oh yeah.
I remember
Shad is always in party mode. He's just, it's like, it's time to be professional and it's time to have a good time. And he always wanted to have a good time. It's like you have to learn how to switch the gears, man.
Yeah, and also maybe would say things, like I said, put his foot in his mouth, like when he sees the boss's daughter.
Oh, yeah, that's a good story. Don't give that away.
Oh, did you say that one?
Say that one.
But then give me the wearing the nice clothes.
Oh, yeah, Shad. So Shad one day, he decided to dress up. I mean, he got a tailor-made suit, and he was looking really sharp that day.
Really fly with two eyes.
He was looking really fly with two eyes that day. And all of us, I don't know if you do it, Jericho, if you have a really nice outfit on, you make a couple of rounds around
the
arena.
Yeah. You want Vince to see you looking good. Absolutely.
So he's doing his rounds, and we bump into Triple H, and Triple H give him a compliment. Triple H said, you look pretty sharp today. And Shad just froze. I guess it caught him off guard. He was waiting for it, but it caught him off guard. And he was just like...
The choice... Yeah, like, you wrote it great. It's like, you know, you say thank you and move on.
Yeah.
B, you kiss his ass a bit. Yeah. C, you use it as a chance to talk, whatever.
Yeah, it was Shad chose Z. He said, I guess this is what it feels like to sell out. I just looked at Shad like, what? Why would he say that?
He said, I wore this suit to look good for you.
This is what it feels like to sell out. And then Hunter, he just looks at me awkwardly. I was like, you want to explain what he did? It's like, I don't know what goes on in his head, man.
And once again, right?
Once again.
Now, then, what's your relationship with Shad now?
Oh, we still hella cool. You know, we hang out. We just did two independent shows these past 2 weeks. We still hang out. We still party. And, you know...
Did you tell him about the book?
Oh yeah, he didn't read the whole book.
Yeah,
he didn't read the whole book, but I did tell him that Shad, I'm writing a book, and the majority of the book is going to be about you. He's like, fine, man, make sure you don't leave all the juicy details. Like, oh no, I'm not.
There was a great story. We were in Puerto Rico. You might have been there. You might not have been. Where he took the photographer with him.
Oh yeah,
some glamour shots on the beach.
You got to
once again, like, just you just.
You just don't do that. Like, yeah. Hey, take the company photographer. Come with me. Where are we going? We're going on the beach. Take some pictures of me. And stood on a coral reef and wanted to take some muscle shots
of
the coral reef as this giant wave came from behind and splashed him, and he fell down onto the reef.
And he scarred up his whole stomach.
He was all covered. You know, coral breaks off inside. What happened to you? And he's like, oh, man. And then we found out the story that, oh, yeah, he was on the reef, and the photographer actually showed us some shots of, like, this
still
wave.
Still most of the big wave coming from the back. Yeah, and he got heat for that.
But just stuff
like
that.
I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding
me. You can write that in Damn Why I Write This Book, too. But, I mean, that's the type of stuff that he just seemed to always do, and maybe not even trying to be, you know, not trying to be an idiot.
Yeah,
but just,
he's not being malicious. He's just in his own world.
Certain things that you just...
Beastland.
Yeah, Beastland, right? So how did it work when you guys were finally split up, and what was the reason for it?
I think we both wanted it. I think we both pitched that. We wanted to go pursue our singles career. And I think Crime Time, it had his run. Mm-hmm. I think the fans wanted to see something different. You know, I don't think they was going to turn his heel. That would have been something different, too, if they could have turned Crime Time heel. But I think we were still pushing to go our separate ways, and I needed a break.
So how was it for you finally going singles? Because you went as a babyface, right?
Yeah, I went as a babyface, and
he
went heel.
To heel.
Yeah. It had its ups and downs. I came up with a lot of ideas that I thought that would be, like, will be big. That'll take me to the next level. I don't know if I ever told you about my Muppet idea.
No.
That's in the book.
But you don't really explain what it is,
though. I didn't explain it in the book too much. Well, I'll tell you what the Muppet idea was. You remember when we had promo class?
Mm-hmm.
We had promo class with, what was the name of the actor again? Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah, we had some with Vince.
And that would be where you would go in there, and they would basically teach you and give you drills on how to cut promos.
Exactly, improv.
And sometimes Vince would be in there,
mm-hmm.
or maybe all the
time. He'll pick something up and say, like this bottle cap. He'll say, cut a promo on this bottle cap. And you will have to use your skills to cut a... not just a promo, but a good promo to make him happy.
Right, you would have to relate something to this bottle cap
and
how
sell
you were
it.
Gonna, yeah, right.
So a couple of weeks of doing that, I came up with this character called Self, and Self was my conscious, and I would just talk to myself. Like, I would say to myself, Self, what do you think about this bottle cap? And then I'll do this English accent. Well, Jay, and I'll get all silly, and Vince loved it. So
he would love the fact that you had this alter ego.
Alter ego, yes.
That would tell you about the... But this bottle cap could be used to throw on the ground so someone may slip on it and you could win the match.
Exactly. Gotcha. He loved it. He ate it up. After doing like 2 or 3 weeks of that, I went to Vince after class. I said, I got this idea and it's going to involve a Muppet. It's never been done before. Just hear me out because it's out of the box and that's what you like, right? And he was like, I'm listening. And I told him about having a Muppet that looked exactly like me. That would be myself. Call it Self. And it would be a rude talking... it would just talk smack, but the thing about it, here's the catch: only me and the WWE universe could interact with the Muppet. So if he was here right now, he'd be insulting you, but you wouldn't know because that's my conscience.
Oh, yeah. But the universe would
exactly.
See. So it'd be almost like Ted, although they can hear Ted talking.
Yeah,
but...
Ted is there. Everybody knows Ted is there.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So you had to be a good actor. So if he made you laugh, you could not sell it. You just had to.
Right.
Yeah.
So who would be talking? Would it be you with a funny voice?
No, I wanted to hire a comedian to do the voice, to be Self. And I thought it would have been a hit.
So
I loved the idea
a...
so much, and I thought that I was going to make millions of dollars because Vince said he loved it. I could think about the merchandise now. He was giving me all these selling points, like, yeah, this is good. I saw him talking to himself. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be great. I went home. He was talking to himself. I went home to my wife, like, baby, we did it. Let's go to Mr. Childs in Beverly Hills. We're about to be rich. I was so confident this was going to work. I would spend like $300-$500 in
so
Mr. Childs.
You would have him like, I'm kind of envisioning like a ventriloquist dummy or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yes.
Would he be sitting on your lap or would you just be holding him or would he just
No,
he would
just pop up
you?
Behind me or something like that.
Oh, but you're, if it was...
It would be for vignettes. I wouldn't have brought it out to,
gotcha,
to ringside.
If you and me were sitting there and he popped up, I can't see him.
Yeah.
And I can't hear him. But
you obviously know that he's there, but
I got you. But I'm saying in the world of the pre-tape,
yes.
But all the fans can hear it, and they would see him. And so when Self would pop up, they'd be like, "Oh, there he is!"
And I'll talk to myself.
You know that something funny is going to happen,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
That's actually a cool idea.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
And he would
Chris.
Look just like you.
Look exactly like me. Braids, grill, everything.
I love the grill too, man. You could have sold grills for.
Oh man, I think they wanted to do it, but something happened. I don't know.
As always.
A mouthpiece.
So you had Self, and Vince is into it. You go to Mr. Chow's, and you're buying the expensive Dom Perignon and the whole thing.
Appetizers, desserts.
Appetizers, exactly.
Get what you want, baby. You're rich.
Cigar after the meal, whatever it may be.
And then again, if you want to find out what happened about why self didn't work out, you're gonna have to get the book. Damn, why did I write this book?
Give us a brief version, though. I can't remember exactly what happened.
Okay, so Vince gave me a duty to do. He wanted me to. He gave me a bunch of names to do because at the same time I was trying to get theme music. And I was trying to get this doll off the ground. And there was a ton of names that he was giving me to his assistant. There was Jim Johnson. And
he's giving you a bunch of names of people to contact to get this rolling.
Get this rolling, yeah. And he must have gave me like four or five names, emails, and I'm bad at names. So all I did was remember their titles. And he gave me something to do. And then the week later, I totally blew the spot.
He gave you the names and then asked if you had contacted them or whatever, and then when he asked you who have you contacted, you blew the spot.
I said a name, but you got to read the book to find out what name I said.
Yeah, basically you had so many names in your head when he asked you who have you contacted, paraphrasing, and you said the wrong name or couldn't remember all the names.
Exactly.
Vince got mad at you.
Oh yes, I try to play it off, you know, I try to smile it off. Yeah, like, you know, Vince, he kept his face stern. Like, I just told this motherfucker to do something, he didn't do it. When Vince tells you to do something,
right,
you do it.
Like, in retrospect, you should have memorized all the names,
exactly,
all the titles, positions that they had.
Exactly.
Wow, so you think just because of that, that was the end of it?
I think so, because I didn't hear anything else about it after that. It was like, it was kind of like...
Yeah, had any of the writers been informed of this, or was it just something you and Vince talked about?
Me and Vince talked about it, and then after that, actually, I kind of got the runaround. Before, it was more direct with him, and he was like, yeah, go talk to so-and-so about it. And it just kind of fizzled out. It was just like, okay,
I wonder if he was testing you to see, you know, or something like that, or...
I guess. I failed. Miserably.
And now there's a warehouse full of self dolls
just
languishing. Did you actually make one?
I went through with it. I went through it with myself. I was like, and then I was going to do some stuff. Like, at the time, Zack Ryder was doing the, he's doing his old web series.
He was
show.
Doing the Long Island
exactly.
story.
I'm like, I'm going to do that with self. I'm going to get this over on my own. And then after Zack Ryder didn't get too much success after, I'm like, I'm going to do all this work. Because doing a web show is hard. You know, even filming it is not the hard part, it's the editing.
Sure.
I edited about one or two shows and it took literally a day and a half. And I'm like,
for like a 5-minute piece.
For a 5-minute piece, yeah. Exactly. Mine was actually short, like 3 minutes. So then after I saw Zach Ryder doing all that and it didn't amount to anything, I was like, I'm going to do all this work. And it's just, the motivation just died out.
Right.
Yeah.
But so there is actually a self.
Yeah, there's a self at home, sitting at home. So if Zack Ryder would have been successful with his show, and I would have probably moved forward with
there's self. A self sitting at home looking at you going, come on, man.
It actually scares my daughter because it's in her
I can
room.
See that.
And then when she turns the light on late at night, it's like,
yeah, there's like
daddy.
A weird daddy in the corner. So after that whole selfie gimmick failed to get going, is that when you started to see the writing on the wall at WWE? Before you answer that, it's so ridiculous. I know one thing that you probably don't miss about WWE, which is all the travel. I mean, that's probably the hardest part about being on the road. I just came back from Europe. I was there for 4 weeks with Fozzy and the Cinderblock Party Tour. Huge success. But besides missing my family, my kids, the one thing I couldn't wait to do when I got home was sleep on my own bed, on my own Casper mattress. Okay, there's nothing like a Casper mattress. And I'm telling you, this is a real deal. I'm sleeping better than I ever have in my life because the Casper mattress is engineered for supportive comfort and guaranteed to give you a great night's sleep. If I could travel with my Casper mattress, I would. If you know, they have like a dehydrated eggs and you add water and you've got eggs. If I could have a dehydrated Casper mattress, like just keep it in a little plastic baggie, add water, just ka-tunk, and I got my giant Casper mattress, I would do that. It's been 18 months since these guys upturned the mattress industry. And now they're planning to do the same thing to the bedding industry with their new sheets and pillows. Casper's dual-layer pillow has nearly a billion microfibers engineered to adapt to your movements and keep you supported all night long. You can try it for yourself in your own home for 100 nights, risk-free. 100 nights, that's over 3 months, okay? This is no joke. You can try the Casper mattress, the sheets, and the pillows in your home for 100 nights, risk-free, all right? 100
over 3 months, like I said. And if you don't have the best night's sleep of your life, they'll come pick up the mattress and refund you all your money, everything. So you need to get a Casper mattress. You got nothing to lose, all right? You're going to have a great night's sleep for 100 nights. If you don't like it after 99, you tell them, they'll come pick it up, all right? Go put Casper to the test. You actually sleep on it for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns, all right? So go to Casper.com, use the code Jericho, and you'll get $50 towards the purchase of that mattress. That's Casper.com, promo code Jericho, and you'll get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Casper.com right now and have the best sleep of your life. I guarantee it. So you guys know by now, I'm a huge fan of TrueCar, the TrueCar app. The app will save you a ton of money if you download it and use it to buy your next car, right? Plus, the TrueCar app lets you do your car shopping and buying right from your phone. And I know you're like me, you do everything on your phone. That's why I downloaded the TrueCar app in the first place. I'm using it now that I'm back from Europe to figure out what kind of a car I want to buy, what kind of SUV I want to buy. I want something new for 2016, and I want a good deal. I'm going to get that through TrueCar, okay? Because TrueCar lets you know what other people in your neighborhood paid for that exact same car you're looking to buy, and then locks in your guaranteed savings. TrueCar has made car buying a heck of a lot easier. You don't have to spend hours down at the dealerships haggling over the price. With the sales guy. You don't have to fend off all the unnecessary extras like the protective code et al. TrueCar has also created a mobile app that makes buying a new car simple and fun. Very easy to use. All you got to do is download the app, and in 5 minutes, you create the car you want. You choose the make, model, special features, even the color. And once you have your specs filled out, you can see what others paid for the exact same car. That's what I've been doing. Searching for the kind of car I want, searching for the SUV I want, searching for the Jeep I want with the certain features I'm looking for, seeing if it's available in the color I want, etc., etc. Once I got all that figured out, I'll lock in guaranteed savings from a TrueCar certified dealer in my area, and that means an average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP, okay? Using TrueCar means no hassles, no haggling, no headaches, no hours and hours of wasted time. TrueCar makes it that easy. They got an app for everything these days, but how many actually save you a serious chunk of change, right? Do the smart thing. Download the TrueCar app. Save time. Save money. Save us Y2J and never overpay. Download the TrueCar app and do it today. All right, let's get back to JTG.
And I remember too, like, and you talk about this in your book as well. I mean, there's a lot of great stories in the book, and we were just touching on a few of them. But there's a lot of kind of like the real world of the WWE and kind of how you have these visions of the dream.
Oh yeah.
And then the reality comes in. Were you starting to kind of get broken down? Was it starting to crack you at this point when all these things were going wrong?
Yeah, after like pitching ideas and seeing it on other superstars, that's when it hurts. That's when it stings. I understand if you pitch an idea and they say they don't like it, but when you see your idea and then it's like your intellectual property, it's like you see it on somebody else, that hurt. And that would, when I saw that happen about once or twice, then I was like,
that's not in the book, though. I don't remember reading
it. No,
that's
not in the book. I put it in part 2.
Oh, gotcha. tell me one thing that you thought of that went to somebody else, even if you don't want to say who it went to.
I'm not going to say who the name, but when you think of somebody talking to themselves, who do you think of?
Talking to themselves?
Yeah.
Talking to themselves like angrily or?
No, just talking to himself. What superstar do you know that talks to himself now?
I don't know. I can't think. Give me one. Yell it out.
Who talks to himself?
Get your nephew over here.
My nephew's here, by the way.
R-Truth.
You know, that exactly the same thing, but it's similar.
Okay, there you go. So that's an idea pitched, yeah. And then kind of was taken and used. Because that happens more often than not, which is kind of a drag, especially when you don't have a spot on the show. I remember that happened to me in WCW a few times.
Happened to you too?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Most of the stuff that you're talking about happened to me just 10 years prior. Yeah, actually something with Raven happened. But I can't remember exactly what it was. It wasn't the flock per se, but it was something where I would go through. Oh, I know what it was. I would go through the flock to get to Raven.
Uh-huh.
I'd have to beat each guy. And that was kind of the verdict.
And who somebody else?
I think maybe it was Benoit or it might have been Booker. Okay. One of the two. They gave it to one of those guys because they were actually doing something on the show.
Oh, that stings,
and I was trying to find something to do and all these things were being used as somebody else. So yeah, it's very
discouraging.
It's very discouraging, absolutely, and frustrating for sure.
Mm-hmm. There was one more after that, and then I was like, well, I'm going to give it my all, but I stopped pitching ideas after that because I didn't want to do somebody else's job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just stopped pitching ideas. But I did. But they come with me with a good idea. I don't care how bad it was. I was going to make it good, but I never got the.
They gave me to do that. I remember we worked one time. In Long Island, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my mom was front row.
Oh, that's cool.
That was great.
That was kind of like around the time when you were sort of doing something, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when we worked you guys at SummerSlam.
Right. Yes. Oh, okay. And that was beforehand.
That was the storyline.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, exactly. And I remember that, too. That's another classic Shad where it was me and Big Show against you and Shad. And we were going over something, and Shad something along the lines of like, you know, but yeah, but I'm a big guy. And I'm like, dude, you're working against the biggest of guys, so shut up.
He said that?
Yeah, there's no one bigger than Big Show.
But I'm a big guy.
Oh. Something along those lines. Not in a bad way.
Did he want a gorilla press?
Something.
Did he want to press,
you know,
Big Show?
Maybe something like that.
I think he wanted to press,
you know,
Big Show.
Yes, that could be it. Wanted to press Big Show. And then after all this stuff went down, you were in the company for a long time, never working. You became like the modern day Funaki. Yes. Like, you're just like.
Yeah, and then the fans caught up to it and they started doing these memes like, JTG is still employed. Like, every time someone, like, there was a group of people getting released, they're like, how did JTG do it? They're like, I don't know, but I'm not, if I did, I'm not, it's my secret. I'm not telling anybody.
Yeah.
And then they created a countdown for me until, there was a countdown. Somebody made a countdown just for me. And, it was just a count until I get released because I was there for like almost 8 years.
But you kept beating the count. There should have been a count up. Because it's like, you know, he's going to be released in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. I'm still here.
I'm still here.
I mean, how was that for you?
I thought the memes were funny.
Yeah.
I didn't let it get to me personally because JTG is a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Jason Paul.
Right.
You know? Even when, you know, when you go back when I'm in the fans and they say, oh, you suck JTG. You haven't been used on it's like all this stuff. Like, it doesn't affect me. It's like, it's a character that I play.
Sure, of course.
I'm not in control of when I'm on TV or when I'm not on TV. But when I do get the opportunity, I make the best of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I'm saying just being on the sidelines for that long, showing up for work every week and like pretty much knowing that you're not on the show. I mean,
definitely discouraging.
Disheartening?
Yeah, definitely disheartening. You know, you when they put the sheet up with all the matches, you know, you come running there looking, you're pointing, where's my name?
Yeah.
JTG? No, JTG? No, okay, damn.
Another day of catering.
Another day of catering, yes. Me and Zack Ryder. Yeah,
Remember Tommy Dreamer said that for a while before he left too. He's like, just got another day of catering today. Come flying and have the catering. So were you kind of was writing on the wall? Or did you ever think that maybe I'll get another chance? Or,
you know, I always remain optimistic. When I was on the road, I would say, oh, they're keeping me off of TV because they're going to have this new character for me. Like, I try to stay positive. And then when I was home for almost a year, then it was like the writing's on the wall. Let me start thinking about the future.
Were you just collecting checks, or did you finally just say, listen, I'm done? Or when did they finally give you the release?
You know, the irony of that story is, remember when I told you I got the call back to go back to WWE when I was in Trinidad?
Yeah.
I took the family to Trinidad. It's been six years since I've been back to Trinidad, and that's when I got the call on the flight, you're being released. And I just looked back. I said, "What if I didn't go to Trinidad? I wonder
if you wouldn't have went there in the first place. You wouldn't have got on. You wouldn't have got back. Was it a feeling of relief, or were you sad, or how does that feel?"
It was just the end of a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I was disappointed or mad. I was sad for like a couple of minutes, and then it was just like, okay, I kind of knew the writing was on the walls. I was kind of like preparing for it, so I wasn't like down and out. It was like you know, I had the projects I was working on, and I was very optimistic about.
You had a year, basically.
Yeah, exactly. To get my stuff together. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you're working on since you've left? When was that you left? 2 years ago?
Or? I got released a year ago, but I haven't been on TV for about 2 years, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly a year ago I got released.
So what have you been working on? Have you been doing any independent wrestling?
Independent wrestling. Doing a couple of – actually got one – just booked one today. Got the when I woke up in the UK. I love going overseas
nice,
to perform.
Yeah.
Other projects I'm working on is I'm working closely with a new startup based in LA. And when I found out about the idea, I was blown away. It's bringing audio to the next level in social media.
Hmm.
And what they're doing, I don't know if you've ever heard of Airsay.
That's the name of the app.
Airsaye.
Airsay.
And it's allowing users to create 15-second voice messages and implement sound effects while you're talking in background theme music and share them with your friends and family on social media. And then they self-destruct. And when I found out about this idea, I had to be a part of it. And I'm glad that I'm a part of it at the ground level because, you know, everybody wants to be a part of it when it's cool and when it's trendy. But I'm glad to be a part of it at such an early age. And the vision that they have and where they're going – It's going to be the next big thing.
I mean, you mentioned earlier about putting out an ebook. Uh-huh. How do you start an app? Like, how do you, like, you got involved at the ground level before it even existed. How does that, I mean, there must be a lot of work.
You surround yourself with people who are successful in that field. And that's what I did.
It's like programmers and exactly. detail people work who, and.
Yep.
How long did it take to get the app up and running? Because it's up now, right?
Yes. They did a soft launch. They got a lot of great feedback, and they're applying that feedback to make it even better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to the hard launch.
Okay, well, because there's so many apps, there's so much social media. How does Earsay stand out from other apps?
Earsay stands out because social media right now they're only focusing on pictures and videos. And me being a storyteller, I love telling stories. Audio has been left out. And then now that you'll be able to add background theme music and sound effects, and they're getting a large library of sound effects, you could tell stories and share them with your friends and just have a great time. Like, you could take sound effects from some of your favorite movies. There's a whole bunch of sound effects out there, but we're not using them. So we're going to make audio emojis the next.
Audio emojis.
That's the next
thing. So give me an idea of what you would post on an Earsay.
For example, if I'm going to meet with my buddy and he's late or something like that, I might send him a... Well, in fact, I got the app on my phone. Let me pull it up if I can do it quick. All right. So I'm pulling up the app now. I'm going to pull out some sound effects right now. This audience laughing. Let me see.
So put together an Earsay.
Earsay one. Let me see. That's a circus theme. And then... Yeah, there's some real clowns out here. They're not really that funny, but let's give them a pity laugh. Just something quick off the top of my head. And you just share that with friends.
And you would post that, like, you know, like, hey, how's your night tonight? And then that would be your answer or something like that, right?
Yeah. And they got over 100 sound effects, and they're growing their library. And they're looking to, you know, license sound effects from Fox, Universal, hopefully work with the WWE, get some of those Chris Jericho's never, ever.
So then you would post that like on Twitter sort of thing? Or you could post that to your fans, or you could send them as text messages?
Yep, that's the plan.
Gotcha, so go all across.
Yeah.
Wow, you just be like an entrepreneur now between
that's the plan.
Taking advantage of all the social media aspects out there.
Definitely, and then also got the other project that I'm working on is did a movie back in January, and it's releasing at the end of July. So I'm looking forward to that. My first red carpet premiere, the red carpet.
What's it called?
It's called Bad Night.
Bad Night, a night as like a night and day, or like a night with a sword?
No, night and day. Night
okay.
And day. Yeah, Bad Night.
What do you play?
I play a villain. I'm running around L.A. shooting at high school girls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a bad night.
And they got some big stars in there. I almost got heat on the set for that. Let me tell you about this quick story.
He's transferring everywhere, man.
So I did the scene with this certain actress, and we did a group shot. And we're sitting down in catering, and everybody's like, "I can't believe that I just, you know, did this scene with Molly."
Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald.
Nice.
I know who Molly Ringwald is if I saw her face, 16 right. Candles, but I didn't notice that as an adult. You know?
Yeah. when you haven't seen somebody, like, you don't. You can't.
I didn't put two and two together.
You can't. Yeah, you just seen them as a young person and an old person. You don't know the difference.
Yeah, I didn't put the two to two together, and they were making a big deal about it. I'm like, who are you guys talking about? Molly. I'm like, okay, Molly. Okay, Molly Ringwald. Then the name didn't catch, and I'm like, Molly Ringwald. That name sounds familiar. And they was like throwing their hands, and they're like, oh my gosh, you don't know who Molly Ringwald is? Like, wait, hold on 1 second. I got this. 16 Candles. I said, oh, that was Molly. You just did a scene with her. I'm like, oh shoot, that's cool.
Like, she looks so old now.
Yeah, I did.
So Molly Ringwald is in this.
I almost
got heat, but you pulled it back out of the fire.
No, I got like, it wasn't that big of a heat, but it was heat.
Okay.
I almost ruined my acting career before it started.
And then the worst part is when you called the runner to get you a hair braider on set.
Oh, yeah. I need to get my hair braided. Can you bring somebody to my trailer?
You sat in Molly's chair while they did it. who else is in the movie? Anybody else?
Matt Walsh. He's on Veeps.
Okay.
Veep. I don't know this guy's name. I'm totally getting bad with names. He was in The Office. Guy.
Oh, Rain Wilson? No, he wouldn't be it.
I think so.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Some guy from The Office is in it too. So that's cool. So how'd you like being in a movie?
I love being in movies. Yeah. And then I had to get this out of my head. You know, working with the WWE for so long, you always try to do something in one take. But with Hollywood, you have the liberty to mess up, and it's all cool. You have nobody, come on, can you get it right the first
time? Yeah, like, yeah.
You
don't what's have, wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it.
I was trying to nail everything in one in one take. Yeah. And then when I didn't do it in one take, you know, I had this like, damn, I keep messing up. And then it was like, relax, man. We have all this film here. Just have fun.
Film's free now. Yeah. It's all on computer.
Digital, exactly.
Well, and that's the thing. You just like, if your line is, you know, these pretzels are making me you just keep doing it until you get it. They just cut it wherever.
Yeah.
It's so much easier, right?
So much easier. It's a more relaxed environment.
How did you get that gig?
Because I'm over.
Right. Duh.
I think one of the directors saw my reel on IMDb. Somebody showed them my reel. Okay. Showed him my reel. He was like, "Oh man, he's cool. Yeah, we need a big guy who could a villain, a thug.
Yeah.
He's perfect. Yeah,
it's great. It's funny you mentioned big. It's like you come in here, man. It's like you're big. I never remember you being that big. You're
I've been hitting the gym,
man.
A little bit.
Yeah, you know? Man, it looks good. Looks good. Trying. So the book is Damn, Why Did I Write This Book? And you go on to Kindle.
Oh, you could go on Kindle, Payhip. There's Nook. What's the other ebooks out there? Yeah, Kobo.
Basically, just Google and find it. It's a real good read. It's like I said, it's like a mini novella. It's about 75-80 pages long, and it's a real cool take on you know how things work backstage in the WWE and how easy it is to get that elusive heat.
Oh yes,
especially when you don't know exactly how or why you're doing it, right?
Exactly. And if you don't want to read the book, you know, you get the audiobook.
Where do you get that from?
Payhip, and also will be on Kindle, and none other than JTG is narrating. And I'll try to get Morgan Freeman, but, you know, he was a little busy.
He got heat with him.
I got heat with Morgan Freeman.
But I mean, it's $1.20, it's $1.99 or whatever it is. It's worth the read. And last question, what's your favorite match that you ever had?
Oh, good setup. My favorite match I ever had definitely had to be with you and Big Show at SummerSlam.
No kidding.
Definitely.
Now, why is that?
Because it was in L.A., my favorite. That's why I moved there. I love that city. It was at the Staples Center. That's where I debuted. And it was for the tag team titles. And I was working Chris Jericho and Big Show. You guys brought us up to another level. You had to step up in the ring. We had to step up with our mic skills because, you know, you're known for being great on the mic. So we had to take it there, too. And that was just a lot of fun. You gave us so much creative liberty working with you guys. You know, sometimes when I work with top guys, oh, we're not doing that. That doesn't make any sense. And you just made sense of it. You're like, you want to do that? Whatever you want to do, let's do it. And then you made sense out of it. You didn't say no. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Chris.
Oh, I remember you always had a lot of cool moves. I remember, I don't think we worked together quite a lot, but I remember when we did, you always had some cool stuff that you could do. And that's always fun to do. Because a lot of times when you ask them, what do you do? It's like, well, I don't know. With you, it's like, well, I do this, I do this. There's something you did off the rope, second rope, there's a spin around.
Yeah, a lot of people told me no. I was like, geez.
What was that one called? He had names for all your moves. Was it
called? Yeah. I had the mugshot.
Mugshot, right?
I had the box cutter. Was it around the corner neck breaker? I had a whole bunch of.
So, was there one that was like fly or something like that? Or was there a fly one?
It was a fly one? No, I don't think there was a fly one. There was a shout out.
What was the shout out again?
The shout out was you would be throwing a clothesline and I would.
That's
go
it. Duck
you.
Underneath, swing around.
Swing around. And,
right,
yeah.
The shout out. Because I was like, which one's which? I'm getting, like, you're like the Hardy Boys. It's like, we're going to do the twist of fate. We're going to do the spin cycle. Which one is which, man? I don't know all the names of these things, man.
And that was the best part. That's the best part of being a wrestler, just being creative and coming up names with your own moves. Like, people don't really know what their moves are, but now they have to adapt to your character.
Yeah, sure. I remember that match. I remember it was pretty good. And I think Show knocked maybe you out
it
from the floor. That was kind of our gimmick, was that he could punch you from anywhere because he was so big.
Yeah.
So he would either do it just from the ring
side. The walls of Jericho, and the crowd went wild, but there's 2 seconds later, I got knocked out.
Ah, good. Yeah, I remember Slash was sitting in the front row. Slash from Guns N' Roses was there. He was watching with his kid. There's also a great picture from our match that we had of you in the walls where I had you just cranked in, man. Like, it was just
snapped in half. I asked for that specifically. I was like, Jericho, do you remember backstage? I said, Jericho, I'm a fan. Can you put me in the old school, the Jericho? He was like, a lot of guys don't like that because their legs don't bend back that far. But you think you can do it? I was like, man, let's do it.
Yeah. If you want to do it, you want to do it, man. Well, that's cool, dude. Well, it's good. It's good getting a chance to talk to you today. And one more thing. You're talking about how you're doing some stuff, mentoring and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing
that's
mentoring.
That's important as well. I mean, you got your nephew here. You said you're mentoring him this summer.
Yeah, hanging out with him this summer, you know, building confidence.
What's your name again?
Self-esteem.
TJ's here. We got TJ the nephew's here.
He wants to be a WWE superstar one day, so.
Well, he's got the fresh braids today. He looks good, man. He's looking good.
We'll go to the gym, you know.
So what is the mentoring that you're doing? It's like with inner city kids?
Inner city kids, yeah. And I'm doing it in Massachusetts. And I'm going to hang out for them for about an hour or 2 hours for the day, you know, help build self-esteem and confidence. You know, I was told I was a positive role model, so I guess I took the gig.
Well, hey, you're in the WWE, man. That's a big deal. You made it all the way there. Do you go actually like to a youth club or something? Or
no, I meet them at their house.
Oh, you go to the house?
I'm still learning about it as I go along. It's like I go to their house, pick them up, and we do something from there. I plan the day out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like a big brother sort of thing, but it's doing it like, you know, as a hero or something like that.
Exactly.
Is there a foundation that you're working with for that? Or
yeah, I forgot the name of the program.
All right.
It's actually my mother-in-law's program.
Well,
so
don't tell. We won't tell Vince.
That's good. I got to get this name thing, man.
No, man. There you go. Thanks, dude. That's very cool to talk to you, man.
Thank you for having me. Cheer. Cheer.
What does that mean?
Cheer?
Yeah.
I just heard it in a bunch of rap songs.
Cheer.
Cheer.
All right, thanks to JTG. Cheer. You can get his new ebook, Damn, Why Did I Write This Book, at Amazon. I read it. There's a Kindle version. A great, easy read, funny stories. It's not very long. You just get in there, read it, and get out. It's worth checking out. And if you do go buy it, please remember to use the Talk is Jericho links. I got the Amazon links for Amazon USA, Amazon UK, Amazon Canada A. You can support both JTG, his new book, Damn, Why Did I Write This Book, and Talk is Jericho in one click. How about the new Devil You Know album? They Bleed Red at Amazon. Howard Jones was on the show last week. Super funny interview if you haven't checked it out. How about any of the Star Wars movies? What's a trilogy is three. What's six? A six-ilgy? You can get any of those Star Wars movies as you get ready to go check out The Force Awakens. So much stuff you can buy on Amazon. Come on, Christmas is coming up. I don't have to tell you what you want to buy. You want to buy stuff? You got to go Christmas shopping. I'm going to go on Amazon right after I'm finished doing this. And I'm going to go on my Talk is Jericho links myself, rob from Peter to pay Paul, but do all my Christmas shopping on Amazon because it's so easy when everyone is trying to please me. Baby. All right, Amazon, longtime sponsors, Talk is Jericho. And you can find them links by going to podcast1.com. Clicking on the Killer Deals button in the top right-hand corner, then hitting the Talk is Jericho button. Easiest way to support the show. Won't cost you anything extra. No hidden charges or fees. Amazon simply kicks back a few bucks to the show whenever you use those links. So, hey, knock out your holiday shopping. Get what you want. There's no hidden fees or extra charges. Just buy what you're going to buy. Help out Talk is Jericho in the process with Amazon. One last big thank you to all of the Talk is Jericho sponsors, including Amazon, DDP Yoga. Remember to tweet your own DDP Yoga story to @ Talk is Jericho for a chance to win a DDP Yoga program signed by the man himself, DDP. How about BetDSI? Go to BetDSI, use my promo code Jericho10, Jericho on the number 10, and get $10 free just for registering. You go bet on whatever you want. Of course, the amazing mattresses made by the fine people at Casper. Sleep on a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free. Once again, use that promo code Jericho, and you get $50 off your mattress purchase. Then there's TrueCar. So many great sponsors, so many great shows. Go back and listen to as many as you want. And this Friday, to continue an amazing week of guests you won't get anywhere else, how about the entire cast of That Metal Show? Yeah, not just Eddie Trunk, not just Don Jameson, not just Jim Florentine, but all three of them at the same damn time. That's right, that's what you're going to get this Friday on Talk is Jericho. First time ever, all three members of That Metal Show will be here. What's the future of That Metal Show? How's the past been? Their favorite guests, their favorite bands. Great comedy between Don, Jim, Eddie, and myself. That's this Friday. Don't you dare miss it. And a big yeah, boy, we'll see you on Friday.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
It's your last chance to get great holiday savings at Guitar Center. Like a Yamaha F335 acoustic guitar, just $99. Or get a Luna Soprano ukulele, only $49. Plus the newest and hottest guitars, drums, keys, and more. Exclusive gear you can't get anywhere else. Special financing. Lessons for the beginner on your list. And gift cards, the perfect present for every musician. So hurry in and find your sound at Guitar Center.
Trump's victory. I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute.
It's always a lot of fun when you win.
If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
At the White House, President Trump welcomed Republicans from the House and the Senate who passed a bill overhauling the tax code. The president says the middle class will be seeing the effects of this bill very soon.
The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's, in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that.
The tax overhaul bill also includes a corporate tax cut.
We have companies pouring back into our country, and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies.
Democrats have criticized the tax package as a giveaway to corporations and the rich. The tax cuts for businesses are permanent under this tax bill, but reductions for individuals and families will expire after a decade. I'm Ed Donahue.